Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
And welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with our show host, Allie, and her co-host, Doc, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or Web Talk Radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not a reliance upon the content of this Web Talk Radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, grab a piece of paper or your journal and a pen so you can take down notes as you share in this journey with us this evening. And tonight's show is being brought to us by the LaTosha Burton Agency, where Nationwide is on your side. And now join me in a virtual applause as I welcome our show host, Allie, to the air. Allie?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of There is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward-Porter, the founder of Elite Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. It is always, always our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off, and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I also invite you to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And you can also find out more about Doc and her services by visiting her website at www.elise, which is spelled E-L-I-S-E, psychologicalservices.com. And you can always contact us directly via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please continue to follow us on Twitter. Or you'll find me tweeting at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at #AllieWard45. On behalf of Doc, Mel D, Rev T, and myself and the entire There's Life After Layoff Radio team, we say thank you for listening and for joining us this evening as we share with you our insights into issues related to the experience of being laid off or some other life-altering event. Now, before we get started and I introduce our featured entrepreneur and the sponsor of tonight's episode, who happens to be agency owner LaTosha Burton, I want to first welcome my special guest co-host, Rev T, Reverend Latina Morrell, who's been helping us hold it down here and blessing us with her wisdom while Doc is taking some time off during the summer months. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Rev T's credentials, she holds a master's degree in social work and is a licensed therapist pursuing her doctoral degree and is also the founder and owner of Clinical Intervention Specialist, LLC, and also Morrell Social Services Network, Incorporated. So I want to say thank you, Rev T, for joining me again tonight and as we welcome one of our title sponsors from our conference. So thank you for being here. Rev T, you with us? Hello. We may have lost Rev T, Mel D, so we see if we can get her back in on the line. I'm not sure what happened. She was there a minute ago, but we're going to keep it moving. And just one quick announcement as we are ready to get started. If you have missed a particular show, you can catch up on what you have missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website, again, at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And it's so convenient because we have our automatic player box on the programming page. All you have to do is click on the program that you want to listen to, and it will start playing for you automatically. So We are also on iTunes as well. All you have to do is search for Atlanta Life Radio on the podcast, and there you will find us. That is very convenient because all you have to do is just upload it to your mobile device, and there you will find us. And you can take it with you on the go. So we appreciate you catching up on what you've missed, and we hope that you will continue to do that and tune in on past shows. Tonight's live show will upload about 30 minutes or so after it airs tonight. So right now, it's time for us to welcome our very special guests into our entrepreneurial spotlight. And before I do that, I think we have Rev T back with us. Are you on the air with us, Rev T? Rev T, are you back? Well, we're gonna go ahead and keep it moving tonight. We have our very, as I mentioned earlier, we have a very special guest joining us this evening into our entrepreneurial spotlight, and we are so honored and so thankful to have had her as one of our title sponsors at our recent conference that we hosted here in Atlanta back on April 11th. So tonight, without further ado, we are joined by agency owner Latasha Burton from the Latasha Burton Agency, which is happens to be a nationwide insurance partner. So I want to say that Ms. Burton happens to also be a very close and personal friend of Ms. Jennifer Giles, who you might all know as our editor-in-chief of our soon-to-be-launched e-magazine. And it was after talking with Ms. Burton that I actually realized that our layoff stories were very similar. So I'm excited that she's here with us tonight. So I want to take a moment to say thank you, Latasha, for being with us this evening.
You're absolutely welcome, and I'm delighted to be here as well.
Thank you. So, Rev T, do we have you on the air?
I should be. Good evening. I apologize for technical difficulties in the studio.
Absolutely.
But I'm here, and I'm glad to be here.
That's right. The devil is a liar. We got you back with us. So we're going to keep going tonight. And before we start with our interview or questions for Ms. Burton, I want to encourage our listeners, please take advantage of this opportunity by calling in because Ms. Burton is here to answer any of your questions that you may have related to the topic tonight, and she'll be talking about insurance and just her personal journey. So please take advantage of this opportunity, and you can reach us by calling 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air lineup in our host queue. So we do look forward to hearing from you. So once again, thank you for joining me, Ms. Burton. And what I want you to do before we even get started in the heart of our conversation tonight, why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and, you know, also including your background and your experience. Can you do that for us?
Absolutely. I'm currently a nationwide insurance agency owner, and I have been in the insurance industry since 2011. I have a bachelor's degree from Mercer University in business management. I'm a wife and mother of two, and I pretty much had the entrepreneurial spirit for a very long time. My philosophy in life is either you're going to work hard now or you're going to work hard later. When it's kind of later, you're too old to work hard. Nobody wants to work hard when you don't want to work hard, right?
Right, exactly.
So I try to tell everybody, get it out the way now so you can relax and do the things that you want to do later.
Right.
Basically, I put in numerous hours to grow my business because I'm passionate about helping other people,
mm-hmm.
helping them plan for the unexpected event that happens in life. And everyone knows by now life is full of uncertainties.
Right.
They're out of your control, and, you know, it's so important to make sure you're protecting your family, you're protecting your assets, because at the end of the day, those are the things that matter to you.
Exactly, yes. And you and I both know because we have similar journeys and stories. So I want to then go into – you know, the fact that, you know, I got laid off a couple of years ago and never saw it coming. But, you know, 2 days, thankfully, 2 days after I learned that I was being laid off, you know, I had the vision to start There Is Life After Layoff. So I wanted to have you share with our listeners your story of layoff and, you know, tell us about that and how you handled that and what struggles you encountered with that.
Okay. Well, just like so many other people here in Atlanta, layoff is just something that happens today. We no longer live in the environment where you work at one company, you're there for 20 years, your parents may have retired from there. Mm-hmm. We just don't live in that environment anymore.
Right.
There's so much turnover here in the United States that, you know, people are going to be impacted by some type of layoff at least once or twice in their life. Luckily for me, I had not experienced it before, but the last corporation that I worked for, I was a large corporation. I had spent 8 years there, and I progressed within the company very quickly. Matter of fact, the last promotion I got, I kind of consider it the promotion to hell because I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? You get that promotion and you're so excited about
right,
it. It's a
right.
new arena for you. You're looking for the new great things. And then you get there and you realize,
oh my goodness,
this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm in management at this point, and
right.
my peers are not acting as managers. They're acting just like everyone else.
Oh,
and
God.
At some point, it became a place that I no longer look forward to going to every day.
Oh,
there, all those awards and accolades I had received in my previous position, there was nothing in this position. There were no awards. There were no accolades. And basically nobody cared about anything.
Wow.
You know, it was like everybody's running around like a bunch of kindergartens, as I would kind of call it.
Wow.
But, you know, I found myself in a position where I was bored. I was no longer growing. I was no longer looking forward to obtaining any growth. And I began to feel dissatisfied, and I resented being there.
Okay.
I hate to use the terminology. I hated my new boss. I didn't hate him. He was just very difficult to work for.
Okay.
At some
okay.
point, I even went to a therapist.
Oh, wow.
I used my workplace program, and I went to a therapist to figure out how am I going to deal with this person because he was that controlling type of personality. You know, if I'm away from my desk, if I'm in a meeting, he wants to know where I was, what time I got there, what time I'm coming back, how long were you at lunch today?
Oh, my God.
And at the end of the day, you know, I'm the kind of person that whatever my work is and needs to be done, I've had it done with my eyes closed, and I have plenty of time to do whatever else that needed to be done.
Right.
But he didn't have any work for me, but at the same time, he was spending a lot of time trying to keep up with every little aspect of my day. And it just became taxing. It was too much, you know.
Right.
I really enjoyed that, what I call that corporate welfare check. I love getting my paycheck, but at the, you know, at the same time, it's like, okay, do I really deserve to have to deal with this? Well, I call it a corporate welfare check because, you know, in that environment that I was in, you may spend 80% of your time working, and then the other 20%, you have that bottleneck going on. You're waiting for other things to happen before you can do anything.
Right.
So I didn't earn that 20%.
Oh, wow.
I'm
that's
here.
Funny.
I showed up, but I call it that corporate welfare check for that reason.
Wow,
but,
that's
you know,
funny.
Basically, yeah, I just got to that point where I'm not learning anything. I'm not growing. And it just became taxing. It was too much. I was falling into a pit. And I knew that I needed to do something else. I didn't know what it was, though. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Mm.
I had played around with a lot of different things, but I just wasn't sure what I was going to do.
Okay.
So I wasn't doing anything to get myself out of that situation. And it's like when that day arrived and I got my notification I needed to come to the office and they didn't need me anymore,
wow.
It was like, okay. The poor guy was trying to explain why they didn't need me anymore, what happened, and I really didn't care. I was so relieved to get out of there. I know that sounds horrible because other people have different experiences.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't care. The environment had been so bad for me personally that all I wanted to do was get out of there.
Wow.
And, you know, the 15, 20 minutes he was trying to explain, I kept saying, here's your badge. I got to go. And he was like, wait a minute, Ms. Burton, let me explain to you. And I'm like, I don't need you to explain anything to me.
Oh,
and then I have
goodness.
This thing I don't want negativity in my head. I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of.
There
and any reason you give me is not going to be a legitimate reason.
So let me
take my pink slip and go on about my business. And when I finally got out of there, I'm telling you, I hit the stairs running. And when I got to my car, the only thing that I could say was hallelujah, because I have been so unhappy. You know, in my position, and, you know, the position that I had, you know, I was constantly being called to HR. I had to tell on employees what they did, what they didn't do. And I'm just like, this is just too much, you know?
And the HR
people would laugh at me because I'd be like, I can't wait to get out of this place. And, you know, it's really bad. You tell them HR, you can't wait to get out of your job. And they're looking at you shaking your head.
It had been really
a bad experience for me at some point. And it was just like, I knew I needed to do something else. I just didn't know what it was.
Wow.
You know, at the same time, I had worries just like everybody else.
Exactly.
My kids no longer had health care. I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I had never received, like, a handout as far as unemployment benefits. I had never received anything like that. So I didn't know what that was going to look like on the other side of the door. But 2 years later, I didn't suffer, and my children didn't suffer either, and we're all just fine.
Wow. You know, when I every time I hear you tell your story, that's just like what happened to me, because I was sitting there watching them talk to me and in the corporate office and in the president's office, and I'm looking like, it was like the Charlie Brown, wah, 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 you know. I didn't want to hear what they had to say. I was like, just show me to the phone. Let me call my husband. I'm good. You know what? Peace. Deuces.
Right.
I'm out.
Right.
You know? Oh, my goodness, that is too funny. But you sound like your old supervisor took micromanaging to a whole nother level. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he did. He was extreme. I would leave the books out for him, how to deal with difficult people. I just, you know, I was that person, you tell me what you want me to do, and I'll get it done in less time. I'll go above and beyond. I could not understand why I felt like he was targeting me, but he wasn't targeting me. This is just who he was. It had nothing to do with me, and it's funny that I had to go to therapy to figure that out.
That's too funny. We just did a show with Jennifer, matter of fact, about corporate bullying, so, you know, that just is so hilarious to me, because I hear a lot about what we talked about in that particular two shows that we did with her. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
That's too funny. Oh gosh. So we're gonna keep it going. Rev T, are you there with us?
I want you to get in on this
conversation.
I am, Ms. Burton. There's nothing wrong with going to therapy to get back on track. We understand. But
that was the one time I welcomed it.
I know. I'm glad you did. It pays off. We were so fortunate to have you as a title sponsor at the recent conference that we had in April, our Seek Me, Awakening the Purpose Within You, which was about awakening people to walk in their true calling or their purpose. Do you feel that you're walking in your true calling or your purpose? And if so, why?
I have to say, I honestly believe that this is my calling. You know, I attended the conference, and, you know, sometimes we do things because people ask us to. And I really didn't know what the conference was all about because I was too busy to read all of the material. I skimmed through it. And I'm on the way there, I'm packing up all my Nationwide stuff and my brochures and everything. And the whole time I'm like, I don't even know why I'm going to this conference. I should have sent someone else. But the moment I sat down, and I think Alicia was the first person that I heard speak, and she shared her experience, I could have jumped up in the room and said, ooh, I know why I'm here, because I got that excited. I got that excited, you know, about being there. And I said, you know, a lot of people don't understand what their purpose is. They've never even really thought about it. They just assume they're here to go to work day in and day out, raise their kids, and that's pretty much it. But I had, you know, I had figured out that I enjoy helping people. I like helping people. You know, in my current role, in my current position, when I sit down with you and talk about your auto and your home and, most importantly, your life insurance, I am customizing your plan for you. I am not making a decision for you. I am not interested in selling you, but I want you to make an educated I want you to make an educated decision about what's best for you and your family based on the facts that I've given you.
Right.
So I think that's my blessing. I don't come home stressed at the end of the day because I really do enjoy what I do. I'm passionate about people and helping people.
Wow.
Oh, I love
that's
it.
Awesome.
And we thank you in this community as being that voice, that person who not only is selling the insurance, but who is empowering people to make decisions that will help them throughout this life and bless their families in the long run. So
right.
It sounds like you are very passionate about that, and I'm so glad that you not only awakened that place in yourself, but you knew your purpose, you walked into your purpose. So tell me and our listeners now about how important do you think it is for people, persons to not become complacent or just very comfortable in their jobs or on their jobs. Tell us about that experience or what your feedback is for that.
Well, I can share from my experience. I knew that I had became complacent because I was no longer doing the things that I normally do. I wasn't going the extra mile. I wasn't studying anything. I wasn't learning anything new. I knew I hated my job. I didn't want to be there, and I act like it every day.
Mm.
You know, I didn't do anything to kind of pull myself out of the situation. I did force myself to kind of go back to school and complete my MBA, but at the same time, it was like torture. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be there. And I look back on that opportunity that I had. Although I didn't have a lot of work to do, there was not a whole lot going on, I knew I had become complacent because I just didn't take advantage of everything that I could have that the company may have offered as far as education, as far as additional training. Yes, I was in a pitfall. At the same time, I could have climbed my way out of that situation. But I didn't do it. So that's something that I had to learn from the experience. You know, sometimes you're going through the storm.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just stop. But what I learned is that you can't stop. You got to keep going and you got to keep moving. You can't focus on the storm. Keep moving. Get yourself out of that storm.
That is so true. I love how you said that. Well, when did you realize that you had done exactly that, moved on and got yourself out of that storm?
I really don't want to say that. I realized I had done exactly, I had become complacent when I realized I was acting like everybody else.
Oh,
I was engaging with the kindergartners.
Oh,
and the things that I would not engage in because I considered myself a professional, now because I was in that slump. Okay, well, now I'm kind of acting just like them.
Wow.
But, you know, I had wake up and recognize, you know, I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to just stop growing because I look around and there's no one for me to latch on to as far as mentorship or I felt like there was really nobody for me to learn from because everybody was in that moment where they're just looking out for themselves. And I'm like, okay, you know, I don't want to be that kind of person. So, you know, I tell other people when you find yourself engaging in unprofessional behavior, when you find yourself engaging in the negative happenings in the workplace, all of that stuff should not be an interest to you. If you're frustrated, you're uninspired all of a sudden, you're disengaged, you're not taking the initiative that you would normally take to get ahead or kind of increase your knowledge, it's up to you to manage your career. You can lack passion, but I'm going to tell you when it becomes noticeable, when you become disgruntled. At this point, everybody notices how disgruntled that you are, and they talk about it in the workplace, and then what happens to you is that you're no longer promotable. You're just like everybody else, and no one wants to be just like anybody else.
Right. That's good right there.
That is good. It kind of leads me into my next question. I think you may have answered it, but I'm going to ask the question and tell you some things I think I heard. I was going to ask you if you could share with our listeners how people who become complacent start digressing instead of progressing. And some of the things I think I heard you say was, one, the non-interest. Your lack of interest, your lack of motivation, you began to not take advantage of situations and opportunities on your job. Had you been enthusiastic about what was going on at work and being at work, you would have taken advantage of and maybe moved to the next level. Tell the audience from your tell the audience some more about that complacency that when you recognize you're digressing instead of progressing. What is that like at work, or what was it like for you?
Well, it's kind of like sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, feeling sorry about your situation and not getting off your butt and doing anything about it. Sometimes we get in a stump, and it's like, right. You know, instead of getting up and saying, okay, this is what things are like today, but tomorrow I'm going to do something about it. I cannot control other people, but I can control me. And that mm-hmm. came straight out of my therapy session. You know, people are going to be who they are. They're going to be who they are. But the only person you can control is you. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're doing things you normally don't do because you don't have anything positive to do, change your behavior. Mm-hmm. Don't become just like everybody else. You know, you are no longer promotable. You can't get to the next level being like everybody else. You only get to the next level by acting as a leader. And I had a team of account managers that I actually managed at the time. Mm-hmm. And when they would come to me with that nonsense, you know, I got to the point where I was like, hey, you're a leader, and I expect you to behave like a leader.
Right.
I don't want to hear about what everybody else is doing. What would a leader do? And they would look at me. They would be mad, but they knew I was right. They knew I was right, and they appreciated me giving them that tidbit because it kept their focus someplace else.
Wow. Right. That's interesting that you said that, because that was a hard bitter pill for me to swallow. I had to understand and know, you know, when you make that statement, and people don't realize it, when you say, oh, you make me sick, no, really, you make yourself sick. And you can't control how other people act, but you certainly do have charge over how you react or, you know, what you say in those situations. So that's very key what you said right there. And I want to ask you this, Latasha, do you feel as though you would have left your job to pursue and fulfill your purpose had you not been laid off? And that's important. So can you explain that?
So you're asking me, would I have given up my corporate welfare check? No, I wouldn't have. Although I hated my job, and, you know, it was ridiculous. Me and other managers were talking about how we're unhappy, we hate the way things are, it's so unprofessional here. But nobody was looking for another job.
Right,
nobody explored or, you know, tried to figure out what was next. I was complacent, and I have to say the company sort of brainwashed you that way, because the moment you walked through the door, they told you, you will never find another job like this.
Wow.
You are the 1% that got hired. Do you know how many people apply for your job? And they'll tell you, 1,000 people apply for your job, and we selected you. Yes, yes. Those are the things that I heard, you know, over an 8-year period.
That's crazy.
I have to say, you know, on the other side of that door, I was thanking God I didn't find another company like them. But to answer your question, no. If they hadn't terminated me, I would still be there collecting that corporate check, and I would be missing my blessing and probably not fulfilling my purpose.
Exactly. You know, that's my story, because I joked about this even at the conference. I said, you know, I had been praying up to that point saying, God, please show me my purpose, because I knew that I couldn't do it anymore. I was just so unhappy and not fulfilled in what I was doing. I no longer enjoyed it. And I joked about it because he showed me all right, because he showed me right out the door.
And you have to say hallelujah when you get your faith and keep moving.
Moving. He showed me right on out the door. So sometimes, you know, people, we got to be careful what you pray for, because he will give it to you.
Exactly.
Oh, well, you know what? This is a wonderful conversation, and we're going to keep it going. But right now, I think this is probably a good point to kind of take a short station break. And then when we come back, we will definitely dive right back into this wonderful conversation that we're having with our special guest tonight, Latasha Burton from the Latasha Burton Agency. So we're going to take a break, and we want your calls. If you want to call us, you can reach us by calling 347-324-5246. Make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. And you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio. So please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff. We want to take this opportunity to thank each and every listener who tunes in each and every week, because without you, this show would not be made possible. And tonight's show is being brought to you by the LaTosha Burton Agency, where Nationwide is on your side, offering you auto, home, commercial, and life insurance. You can find LaTosha's agency at 2460 Briarcliff Road, Suite 20A in Atlanta, Georgia, or you can find her agency online at www.nationwide.com/LaTosha, spelled LaTasha, Burton, Burton. Again, we want to thank the LaTosha Burton Agency for sponsoring the show this evening. And now we're turning back to our show. Allie?
All right. Thank you, Mel D. We are back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with our entrepreneurial spotlight with agency owner LaTosha Burton tonight. And we're having a wonderful conversation along with my special guest co-host, Rev T. And we encourage you to continue to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And I'm also on Twitter at AllieWard45. And on Instagram, I'm at hashtag AllieWard45. So tonight we're going to continue our conversation. And you have just been so wonderful, Ms. Burton. It's just been an awesome conversation. And I know some of our listeners have related to some of the things that you shared, but we want to keep it moving tonight. And I wanted to ask you next, can you share your thoughts about how people who go to work from day to day to their jobs and they don't like, they don't realize that they actually have a purpose? Can you speak on that a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, people go to work. It's a paycheck for them. They go there day in, day out. They clock in. They have their lunch. They come home. They pay their bills. And they haven't really considered whether or not this is a passionate thing for them. They're just paying their bills at the end of the day. They're doing what they feel like they need to do to be productive. You know, their job may be great. It may not even be what they consider a bad gig. However, if you determine what your purpose is, it's no longer a job, because now you develop your passion.
Mm-hmm.
You found
mm-hmm.
your passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that I wanted to find something that I enjoyed doing, and I was sure that when I saw 40 and I got to the other side of 40, I was going to be doing something that I wanted to do, that I enjoyed doing.
Right.
I didn't know what it was, but I did know that everyone has a purpose, and as they used to say it in church, everyone has their own gift. You just have
that's
to figure
right,
out
right,
what it
right.
is.
Right.
So if you want to determine what your purpose is, you have to start with what you enjoy doing. Figure out and, you know, create your niche. Create
mm-hmm.
your job out of what you enjoy doing. So it's up to you to determine what it is that you like and figure out what makes you happy at the end of the day.
Right, and
okay.
I think you and I had a conversation while we were preparing for this show, and it was such a great story that I kind of wanted you to share it with our listeners today. It was the story that you shared with me about the young woman. I believe she may have been one of your clients. I'm not sure, and how she was robbed and how that made you realize something about a lot of women and in general single black women out there who don't know their purpose. Can you share that with us? Because I think it's very intriguing.
Okay, absolutely. I recently had one of my clients, and she's also one of my best promoters. She helped find me clients and referrals. And she contacted me because a friend of hers had some issues, and she had some questions about insurance. But a lot of times you can't really answer questions because you have to understand what the situation is so that you can apply the right answer. So, you know, I know that she was kind of dancing around telling me what had happened to her or what the situation really was, but I just kept probing, asking her questions, and eventually she explained to me that she had gone on a business trip, networked with a gentleman, and they had talked for
4 to 6 hours. Mm. She became comfortable with him enough that, you know, he asked her for a ride up the street. Mm. She obliged him, gave him a ride, and he had her to turn down some really dark road, forced her to the side of the road, robbed her with a knife, stole her purse. I think she was in a rental car, stole the rental car as well, took her clothes out of her suitcase, took her shoes, and, you know, at the end of the day, he stole her dignity.
She was
traumatized, and she was scared to death that these people were going to come and get her, you know, back in Atlanta where she actually lived. You know, the police did, they were able to find her, and they had this guy on camera, but, you know, they never really caught up with whoever this person was.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm talking to her, and she's so concerned about losing her job. And I'm like, okay, well, did you talk to your job? What did they say? And I'm like, this company, well-known company, we all are affiliated with them because they're in our household.
Okay.
I won't disclose who they were. But, you know, the company told her that she was lucky that, you know, they didn't fire her.
What?
And I was like, wow, exactly. You go through this traumatizing event. Here she is, stressed.
Jeez.
She's breaking down in tears, just saying, you know, she almost wished that this guy had killed her because she was embarrassed by what he did to her.
Oh, my Lord.
She didn't want her family to be embarrassed by what happened to her, so it was better if he had killed her and nobody knew what happened to her. That was the thing that she said to me that shook me the most.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, my God, God has given you an opportunity to get out of this situation and learn something from it.
Right.
And that was just a clue for me. Okay, I better get to work, you know, with this young lady and explain to her that she has a purpose. You know, God allowed her another opportunity.
Wow.
And if he wanted her to be dead, if he didn't have no use for her, she would have been dead. But he has something that he wants you to do. So you can't just give up your life because you're embarrassed. All of us have done things that we've been embarrassed by, and we continue to be embarrassed by. And I'll tell anybody, I've been justified by the blood of Jesus. I don't have to explain anything anybody.
You better say that.
But, you know, it really threw me for a loop. And, you know, I'm talking to her, and I'm trying to explain to her, your job is just a job. Obviously, you would enjoy being there. Obviously, they don't appreciate you or your life. They don't appreciate, you know, what would have come next should you had a shown up dead, because now they're on the hot seat. Why were you there? What were you doing for them? You know, and I was just like, wow, don't let that company or that boss steal your joy. You have to determine what's for you. Now, don't be crazy and leave your job or anything like that. You know, you have to figure out what it is you like to do. And I just start asking her, what do you enjoy? What are your hobbies? And, you know, she eventually said that she, you know, and liked to do event planning. But she said that, you know, I guess in my conversation with her, me sharing what I felt like my purpose was, which is helping other people. And she was just like, you know, I wish I knew what my purpose was. And I'm thinking, this is a 40-year-old grown woman, and she has no value for her life. She feels like because she doesn't have a husband or children that she doesn't have a purpose. And I was just like, wow,
that's
I was
crazy.
Just so blown away. But I've heard that from so many single black women. And I just started working on it because I don't want to ever hear that again. But I told her, I said, if event planning is your thing, I challenge you to go design you a logo and get you some business cards.
That's right.
You know, put that $50 to work. That's all it's going to really take, and a little bit of your time and energy. And everybody that you come across, I want you to give them a business card and tell them, this is what I do. This is my passion. I would love to have the opportunity to do this for you. And she eventually did put that plan into play, and she did get an opportunity to plan someone's event. But I'm just like, you know, I was just so astonished.
That's crazy.
She just didn't have value for her life. She'd rather be dead than for her and her family to be embarrassed by what had happened to her. I said, what happened to you? It ain't the rest of your life. It's over.
Oh, my God.
It's
That's
over.
Crazy.
It
That's
is.
Crazy.
And it was sad. It was so sad.
It is sad.
Yeah, it was
I'm glad
sad.
That she had someone like you who was there. But that's the hand of the enemy at play. I mean, because that's what Satan does. He takes opportunities like that to cause your mind to be in such a place where you're weak. and you're allowing yourself to be succumbed to his mechanisms, because
absolutely.
In her mind she was better off dead. But
that's
in
crazy.
Actuality, yeah. He was like, go ahead and let me let you die, because if I let you live, you know, you're going to come and you're going to embrace something greater that God has for you. And I don't want you to meet God's plan. I want you to die
absolutely.
In my plan.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's going on. But your conversation so far, even how you spoke to her and asked her to share, you know, what is it that you like to do? Let's help define your purpose. Just going back, that's kind of how I joined this show earlier last year when we were talking about defining your purpose. And then we moved into the conference, the Awakening Conference. And that's what part of the experience I've had with this show is not only for ourselves but our listeners, to encourage everyone to find that place in them where they buckle down and listen for
mm-hmm,
God to speak
mm-hmm.
to them.
That's
ask
right.
God to, and I plan to say some of these things in my closing, but it's just kind of coming out now,
mm-hmm.
but ask God to reveal to you what his plans are for your life, what his purpose is for your life, and then identify the gifts that you already have, because he's already planted the fruit in your spirit, you
that's
know,
right.
and he's already given you what you need to accomplish. It's just now awakening that place, accepting that place, and then walking into the destiny of whatever it is that's going to manifest in your life, because that's what his plan is.
That's
but
right.
With that saying, how did you find your purpose and your passion, or discover that this is what you were called to do, your pursuit in a career as an entrepreneur in the insurance industry? How did you get pulled where this became your life's work? Because that's what it is, your life's work.
Well, I think for me, my husband always had the entrepreneurial spirit. You know, when we first got married, I didn't want anything to do with that. I just want, give me my little job, give me my little paycheck, and that's what I wanted to do.
Wow.
But, you know, seeds are always kind of being planted in your life,
mm-hmm.
and it's a true
mm-hmm.
statement when somebody tells you, if you're not where you want to be, go hang out with the people who are where you want to be, because you'll pick up tips and bits of how to get to where you want to be. And I have
right.
to say, just over the years, just kind of listening to him, and eventually I got the bug and I started with a little business here and a little business there. You know, we own a rental car business, and, you know, eventually after getting laid off, I kind of experienced learning what that business was all like, and the bug just kind of, you know, was placed in my heart.
Mm.
But, you know, my first concern when I got laid off was that I didn't have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't get me wrong, we weren't starving or anything like that because of my paycheck being missed. But at the same time, I didn't have the comfort of those benefits that I had my entire life. So that
right.
scared me. So
right.
not
right.
having that health insurance, I'm like, okay, I need to learn some information about health insurance. Well, I don't have a clue about health insurance because it's always been something that was just provided to me.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm laid off, all these companies keep calling me, talking about insurance. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about no insurance. I want them to stop calling me. I mean, it was horrible. But I said, okay, I'm going to fix them all. I'm going to interview with all of them that has called me, and I'm going to line it up for a whole week. I interviewed with several different insurance companies, but it was the one company that I liked. And I said, okay, there's a gentleman here who's willing to take me under his wings and show me what the industry is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of latched on to that. So that's how I, you know, solved my I don't have insurance issue. But at the same time, it also put me in the realm of, okay, I like what I'm doing. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy helping people who are just like me. They don't
right.
have insurance. They don't understand it. And they need some help. So who is
right.
better to help them than little old me?
Right.
Okay.
So,
right.
you know, later on in my career, I ventured into the auto, home, and commercial part of the industry because I wanted to grow. And I like what I offer to my clients, but I want to be a one-stop shop for my customers. When my customer
mm-hmm.
comes to me, I want them to be able to get everything that they need and, you know, be done at the end of the day, because my business is about building relationships. So once I build a relationship and I have that trust from a client and I'm taking care of all these different facets for them, you know, then I know that I have something. I've taken care of their needs and I've helped my client at the end of the day. You know,
right.
if somebody is interested in,
you know, getting in the insurance industry, becoming an agent. You know, go job shadow somebody who's already in the industry.
Okay.
See how they spend their day. See how they network with people. See how they handle their sales. But at the end of the day, this is a people business, so you have
right.
to be people-oriented to be in this field. And if you determine that this field is for you, hey, I suggest you study, get licensed, and create your own opportunity, or you can work for the many other insurance companies that are out there.
Right. Wow. That's
okay.
great advice. That's great advice. And it sounds like we've kind of heard why you're passionate about what you do. So I'm kind of jump to the next question. And we're at a point where can you share with our listeners some of the key factors? Because I know you really said that you wanted to make sure that you share this with our listeners tonight. Some of the key factors about the different types of insurance, such as auto, home, and life, and something that our listeners can take away with them tonight.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that the main factor in all of those is making sure you have enough insurance. When you're talking about auto, a lot of people ride around, they have state minimum in their coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really have to look at what you have because state minimum is not going to be enough. State minimum was determined back in 1940, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what health care was in 1940
right,
versus
right,
what
right.
health care is today in 2014?
Ooh.
Your state minimum is going to get you sued. State minimum is going to have someone owning your house. They're going to have someone retiring off of your retirement. So if you're running around with a state minimum plan for your auto insurance, I strongly urge you, please look at your plan and really think about what's happening today, what costs are involved
right.
with today, if you should cause an accident. If you cause an accident and you're at fault, okay, that person's health care. You need to get that body back in the shape that it was before you caused that accident.
Right.
And $25,000 is really not going to cut it if they're hurt. $25,000 is not going to cut it if there's three people in the car. $25,000
right.
is not going to cut it if you hit more than one car.
So
the other thing I would talk about is your homeowner's insurance. Make sure if you bought a policy a long time ago, make sure that policy is up to date when it comes to replacement costs. If you bought your policy 10 years ago and it's still at the same cost
right.
and the you know, what it would take to replace your home is still at $100,000, and now the value of your home has gone up $200,000, not to mention if a storm came through and hit your home or the homes in your community, the cost to replace your home is based on the building materials that are available in the store.
Right,
the
right,
store's
right.
cost now that all these people need materials, supply and demand, now the cost goes up. So replacement
right.
costs on your home is very important. Make sure you have enough.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I would want to talk about is life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
People do not understand. They think they don't need it, but I'm going to tell you, get it while you can. The approval for life insurance is based on you having good health and a good motor vehicle record. So if you're out there getting a bunch of speeding tickets, it may cost you life insurance. So you
wow.
may not want to have that lead foot.
Right,
that's
right,
one
right.
of the things that one of the factors that goes into deciding whether or not they're going to give you life insurance.
Oh, wow.
And once your health declines, you are no longer a candidate for a good price plan for life insurance. If you can still get it, it's going to be, you know, a ridiculous amount of money. So if you are in
right.
good health today, go ahead and get your insurance now. The best type of life insurance is the one that you have enforced when your family needs it.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter what you get. It doesn't matter what you get. The only thing that matters is what you have when you die.
That's
and
right.
And your family is in need.
That's right.
Well,
that's some key points.
You just taught me, and I'm sure some of the listeners something, that correlation between your driving record and being able to qualify for life insurance. Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Burke, what are some
and
of the
I'm
biggest...
the speeder.
So I know. Oh, wow. Okay, you're sure honest.
Yes,
what
brutally.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions that people have about having life insurance? And the second part of my question is, what does not having life insurance do to your family in reference to maybe like our family legacy?
Okay, well, I'm going to say the biggest misconception about life insurance is somebody saying they don't need it. What people don't understand, and in certain communities, you know, life insurance is taboo. You're going to kill me and get all this money from me.
Right.
It's not about that. Life
Mm-mm.
insurance is a gift. It's not for you. It's for your family and whoever you're leaving behind. It's for them to take care of your final expenses, which means your funeral, the flowers at the funeral, the nice suit you're going to have on.
Right.
And most importantly, it's there to support your children, your wife, your children's education. You know, I wouldn't want my husband to have to go marry somebody in the next year or so just because he needs to replace my income. I want my family to properly grieve me, go on with their life, and be healthy
right.
and whole. And if you got to jump back in, you don't have the opportunity to heal, you're not able to do that. But life insurance, it eliminates the death. And when it comes to leaving a legacy for your family and your loved ones, not having insurance or not having enough insurance can devastate your family for many generations. It doesn't just affect your immediate children. It affects your children's children because now your children no longer have what they need, the basics of what they need. And then when they have children, they're behind. They're behind
right.
in comparison to that family that had all the life insurance that they need. So leaving your family a proper amount of life insurance could help your family along for many generations, and it helps you leave a legacy for your family. Why would anyone, you know, not leave their family members what they need? Why would you want
right.
to leave your family members
exactly.
in a poor condition? Because that's what you do. And if you don't care about your family, if, you know, I tell anybody, if you're with someone and they don't care enough about making sure the life insurance is in place, get rid of them. Because they're not thinking about nobody but themselves. And you don't need that. You got to know that you're going to be taken care of. At the end of the day, you need to know that you, your children, are going to be able to move on and be healthy and whole, you know, once everything is said and done.
Wow. Thank you for that. And, you know, as we get ready to close out our episode, I want you to please share with our listeners once again, how can they contact you and learn more about your services? Can you give us, once again, your contact information?
Absolutely. My office number is 404-919-4483. I can be reached Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday from 9 to 3. Technically, as long as I'm building my business, you can call me just about any time, and I'll answer, you know. I try to keep office hours so I can have a balance. But, you know, again, when I'm in the people helping business, I don't mind helping people. My office is located at 2480 Briarcliff Road, Northeast, Suite 20A, and that's in Atlanta, Georgia, 30329. You can also find me online at www.nationwide.com/LaTashaBurton, and that's spelled LaTashaBurton.
Wow. Thank you so much, LaTasha. It's been a pleasure and an honor to have you first as our sponsor, one of our title sponsors for our conference. Thank you for trusting us and for, you know, being a part of that conference. But thank you for being here tonight. We have really enjoyed our conversation, and you're welcome back anytime. So thank you for being here with us this evening.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Now, Rev T., as you always do so eloquently, can you kind of tie it all up nice and neatly with scripture tonight for us?
I'll do my best, Reverend. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Ms. Burton, yes, it was a pleasure getting to hear your story on air with our listeners, and thank you for sharing and being so basically candid and forward about the reasons why it's important for us to have not only health care, but life insurance and motor insurance and making sure we have the right coverage. So thank you for that. Now, whether it's growing complacent on your job, whether it's being laid off or being fired, let go. There is life after your daunting experiences. So you have to get back on track. So some of the things that we've talked about for our show up to this point is your purpose, awakening that purpose and then moving forward with it. So let me leave you with some tidbits, some things I would like for you to do. If you're not really walking in the fullness of your purpose or your destiny, one, ask God for wisdom, okay? Second, ask him to clarify the purpose he has for your life if you don't already know what it is. If you know what it is, then get yourself in position. you have to write the vision, make it real plain. If it literally means getting a sheet of paper out, writing down your goals step by step, prepare your plan. You know,
right.
Do it yourself. The Bible even speaks in Exodus 35 and I think it's 12, the women who were there spinning, they were spinning the weaves for the cloth from the goat. And you need to ask God to reveal the purpose so you can pursue your gift and be great at your talent. Because in the Bible, the story that I'm referring to, the women had to use good talent to spin that wheel and to be able to, you know, use the shedding of the goat's hair like it was. Because it takes a skill, it takes wisdom. And although life is full of uncertainty, walk without wavering in your faith and believing. Have the faith like Abraham and Sarah did. You know, Romans 4:19 talks us about how Abraham knew he was going to have a son, he and Sarah. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? They believed, and their dreams came to fruition because they had their son. So what I say to you tonight is get yourself in position, understand what your purpose is, and walk your purpose out into your destiny. If you don't see it today, keep walking with it. It will manifest because you believe.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Rev. T. And as we close out our entrepreneurial spotlight, we've heard a lot this evening from Ms. Burton, and it was a lot of great advice. So please take advantage of her advice and do yourself a favor and do an assessment on the coverages that you have on your life insurance, your home, your auto. Do yourself and your family a favor. Because, like she said, you have to have it before you leave, before you die. And it's not going to work after you're gone, and it's going to be too late. So please do not take it for granted. And then, you know, I want to say to all of our listeners, we thank you for joining us each and every week as we take this journey. And we don't take it for granted that you've chosen to spend this time with us each and every week. And I pray that you will continue to tune in and follow us on this journey that God has us all on. And we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And, yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. And continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember that there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in. When your breakthrough will begin, failure. we must trust and believe. For the only freedom I have ever known has come from you alone.